And good morning. Welcome into Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio, all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you this morning. Dan Folds off the show for today. Now, we're looking forward to a great race at Las Vegas later today. Looking back on a fantastic race there at Homestead that William Byron was able to come away with the victory with. But as we mentioned, Dan Folds not on the show today, but did send in a message for today, what he's up to today, and I wanted to be sure to give a shout out to not only us, but all the fans here on Green White Checkered here this morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Dan Folds speaking to you on the boat. I am lucky enough to be in Paradise in the Skidaway River. I'm not going to be able to be on the show today because I got selected to do some safety boat services for a film that's being produced in the Savannah area. Having said that, I am so excited to be one-third of the Green-White Checker team and one-half of the Rubbin' and Grubbin' team that comes to you from Coach's Corner every Wednesday night. So I know you guys are going to have a great show. I will probably have the race on the radio today because I think we'll be doing some standby time, and I wish everybody a great Sunday.
That's Dan Folds. I appreciate him stopping by for sure, and I can't wait to have him back on the show next week. Of course, you can hear him every Wednesday at 6 o'clock there at Coach's Corner for Rubbin' and Grubbin'. That fantastic show there on Wednesday nights. Perfect midweek fun news to be able to get you caught up on everything you need to know getting into the weekend there in NASCAR. But as we mentioned last week, a great race there at Homestead, and our very own Brandon Bain, you told us, look out for William Byron. You called your shot. Byron comes home with the win. Not only that, he really, once he took the lead there at the end of stage two, really dominated that last stage and made it known that he's going to be someone to compete with here in 2021.
Yeah, PJ, I mean, it's definitely an eye-opener for those guys that had any doubt about William Byron. You know, I mean, we saw him get that win last year at Daytona in the summer race on the classic track, and drove his behind off to get that one, and then comes out this Sunday, you know, works his way up there, man, gets that lead stage two, and then after that, it just seemed like he was gone, man. But yeah, big win there again for another young driver in a career, getting his career rolling, and a top Hendrick performer, man. I mean, it's something to be said when you go back and you look at that top 15 from this last race, and all four of those Hendrick guys were up there. So, you know, it's just something that I wanted to see exactly how Hendrick Motorsports as a group had, you know, fixed their mile and a half program, or, taken a step towards, you know, maybe say the Penske Fords or, you know, JGR and the Toyotas with Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, you know, absolutely dominating mile and a half and Truex there. Very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what they do today. There again, another, you know, mile and a half racetrack. A lot of folks like to call them cookie cutters. This is totally different race, man. But what a neat win for Byron. And you know, the amazing thing was, he got the crew chief back that he had when he was at KBM, you know, Kyle Busch Motorsports in the truck. And it didn't take long to get the success that I think they were really hoping for this season. So it's going to be interesting to see, how he puts the rest of the season together, being a young driver and pretty much being locked in those playoffs. I'd really like to see Byron go out and do a little bit more consistency. You know, last year he had really good runs, some that were great at times leading races. And then they, you know, halfway through the race, or that last quarter of the race where it really counts, kind of fail. So it's just going to be interesting to see what he can get going, for the remainder of the season. But for me, I look out for consistency for that 24 car.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the pairing with an old crew chief, a crew chief that he's comfortable with as well here in 2021. And like you said, it didn't take long for them to strike gold here in the Cup Series. And for sure, that's going to be one thing that I'm looking forward to as well. You got this victory. Now, can you keep up some top five, top 10 finishes? And at the same time with me, this was really a statement for William Byron. This was a sign for me as well to say, all right, This kid is really, really good, and I've been waiting to see it. You know, what we saw in the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, And William Byron was a guy that I was like, man, he is going to burst onto the scene and really have a superstar type first few seasons in the Cup Series. And maybe didn't necessarily see that. Took a little bit longer to get going for him because, as you mentioned, just being able to finish off those races. But now that he's got not only the restrictor plate win, but this win under his belt, I feel like this is really William Byron showing up to the scene. And I feel like that chemistry with his new but old crew chief does play a very big part in that, and there's no doubt about that. You mentioned Hendrick. Kyle Larson coming home fourth, and I thought it was going to take maybe a little bit longer for him to have that chemistry with his crew and with his crew chief there with a new team. But, man, he was competing for the victory there at the road course last week, and then you come back, follow that up with a top five. Kyle Larson not showing any kind of rust or anything like that, getting back into competition here with the Cup Series. So, as you said, Hendrick, especially on these mile-and-a-half racetracks, always going to be a team to look out for, no matter what team you're talking about, whether it be the 9, the 88, the 24, or the 5. And, Brandon, one of the big themes of that race there at Homestead was fall-off altogether, right? You have the fall-off of some teams as a transition from day to night, and we're going to have a lot of that with these 3 o'clock starts, which you love them or hate them, but we're going to have a ton of them this year. And you saw plenty of teams, pretty much all the Penske teams. You had Chris Buescher as well leading laps early and then really falling off once the sun started to go down. So you had that kind of fall-off throughout the day, and then you had the tire fall off too. The tire wear was huge, and new tires were so important there at Homestead. And we mentioned that going into the race, but man, the tire wear was something really big to look out for all day. And you talk about those two different kinds of fall off there throughout the race at Homestead. It really proves for sure that each one of these mile and a half tracks, even though similar in the length of the racetrack, but certainly every single one of them has their own unique spin on things. And man, fall off in both of those senses was extremely important all through last week's race.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, going back to the William Byron thing again, PJ, you know, I was the same way you were, man. I thought when this kid came out of the trucks and into Xfinity and doing what he did in both those series, like, all right, now we've got one that's going to come into the Cup Series hot. And like you said, it took him a while, but I think you got to look at not only how big the change is between equipment, going from trucks to Xfinity and either one of those series up to the Cup Series. But not only that, look at you know, who came in right around the time he did. I mean, you have so many young, talented, good drivers that are right there. The competition is just extremely stiff, you know, and not to mention the wily veterans like Harvick and Truex and, you know, Kyle Busch and Hamlin. I mean, these guys that were, you know, the William Byrons at one time. So that's interesting. But, yeah, man, I mean, the tire fall off at Miami is almost, you know, almost if not just as good as Atlanta, you know, right behind it. I mean, Atlanta to me is still the tire grinder, you know, the place that just you get 5-6 good laps on your tires, and then after that it's tire management. But, you know, another key to that race last weekend was restarts. You know, I felt like if you had a good restart and got that momentum running, you were able to make a few passes before you settled in line. And then just there again, like you said, keeping up with the track. You know, this time of the season with the time change not set in yet, and like you said, the race is starting at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, definitely the track is going to change throughout that time. And it was amazing to see, like you said, you know, Chris Buescher and these different guys go out and, I mean, dominate stage one and be so fast, and then turn around and stage two, you're like, oh, where'd he go? You know, just kind of fell off, car fell off. Didn't quite keep up with the changes. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be an absolutely amazing race again today here at Vegas, man. You really got to look out there again for those restarts and, you know, who's going to do the tire management on the pit strategy. Will we see two tires ever? You know, will you see, you know, four? Will you see somebody, you know, run some laps longer on some to save some for the end? It's just going to be interesting to see what the strategy is, man. But I am in 100% total agreement with you. And the fact when it comes to Miami, it's, you know, you have to keep up with that racetrack.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun to watch. And William Byron able to come home with the victory there and keep up with the track. Two guys as well that were able to do the same thing. How about this? Two drivers have top 10 finishes in every race this year. Michael McDowell and Kevin Harvick. And two ends of the spectrum there when you talk about their history in the sport. But hey, both drivers doing a great job here in 2021. And you talk about getting locked into the chase, right? Getting locked into the playoffs. Winners for 2021 so far, Michael McDowell, Christopher Bell, and William Byron. It's been a wild year so far. We'll have to see if it keeps up that way in today's race there at Las Vegas. But we'll come back, keep talking all this NASCAR news, as well as NASCAR coming out with the dirt track format, the dirt race format that will be at Bristol here later this month. And of course, we'll talk about Las Vegas later today as well here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back, Green White Checkered, all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. Dan Folds with the weekend off. But be sure also to check out Dan Folds and Brandon Bain every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock at Coach's Corner for Rubbin' and Grubbin', your weekly catch-up on NASCAR news there. Get you set for the weekend there at Coach's Corner with some great food and great entertainment as well. If you can't make it to Coach's Corner, be sure to check out Rubbin' and Grubbin' on Coach's Corner's Facebook live feed or ESPN Radio Savannah's Facebook live feed. But hey, if you can make it to Coach's Corner, be sure to get there every Wednesday night at 6 for Rubbin' and Grubbin'. But Brandon did want to note, I saw a tweet. I didn't catch who it was from. Saw a tweet and don't necessarily agree with it. Wanted your thoughts here on this. But Kyle Busch finishes 10th there at Homestead. But you think back, not really competing for the win there. And just doesn't really seem to have some of the speed that we're used to Kyle Busch having. Now, on the road course, he was up there competing for the victory, but a few times got caught into trouble. And someone put out, "We're witnessing the downfall of Kyle Busch." And I don't know if I'd go that far, but are we maybe seeing him regress a little bit when you pair it up with last year and this start to the season? Or is it just a tough stretch to the season?
No, I mean, I think when you're Kyle Busch, I mean, you got to look at this guy. There's no regression. There's never. I don't know if there's going to be a regression. I think this is a guy that's smart enough to know when he's done winning up there, he'll go back. I mean, and run some lower series like he dominates in. You know, we saw the Truck Series here at Vegas earlier this weekend. If anybody out there got a chance to catch that, that's the Kyle Busch of the old. That's the Kyle Busch of today. Still, you know, 35 years old, 36 years old. I mean, he's very young. Been doing this for a very long time. And not only that, look at the changes that he's gone through over the last few seasons. You know, not only in the car. And not only in the crew chiefs and not only in the crews, to turn around and not have any practice and not have any qualifying. You know, I think Kyle Busch is a guy, and a good buddy of mine is one that, you know, kind of broke this down to me and opened my eyes up to it. It was very interesting. But Kyle Busch is a guy that, you know, when we show up in a normal NASCAR weekend and there's no COVID and we're back to the practice the way they used to, this guy goes out and he'll run X amount of laps each practice. And, you know, we were sitting there talking, and it's almost as if Kyle Busch needs to drive his car into a sweet spot, we'll call it. You know, just somewhere where he really likes the way the car's handling and the way it's going, you know, tire wear is, lap times over an extended amount of time, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have guys that are able to go get in the car and off the trailer, they're fast and they're set up and, you know, they work on it through the race. So I think the racing has changed a little bit, and I think it might take them a little longer to bounce back. You know, last year was a very dismal season for Kyle Busch. I mean, it really was, especially, I mean, we got, you know, a two-time champion here and he gets one win and never really led a lot of races, never led a lot of laps. Didn't run very good, had a lot of trouble. And I really look at 2021, I really look at this season being another really good season for Kyle Busch. There again, another crew chief this year, you know, Adam Stevens has moved on. But at the end of the day, it's Kyle Busch. And I don't agree with that tweet at all, man. I think that the best is yet to come with him. You've seen it through so many drivers for so many years. I mean, even the greats, Dale Earnhardt Sr., you go back and Google his career. He had a lull there for a couple of years where he went a really, really pretty long time without a win. And, you know, of course, we didn't have social media in those days, and nobody was on there saying the downfall of Dale Earnhardt Sr., but around the community of NASCAR, nobody was counting Dale Sr. out for however long it was that he didn't win a race. I mean, this is a guy that, you know he's got the talent, you know it's going to come back, and you know he's going to end up dominating. So I wouldn't say the downfall or regression at all. What I would say is, you know, along the lines of what you were saying, PJ, I mean, maybe it's just taking him a little longer to get a hold of it, man. It's, you know, he hadn't quite got it figured out, but it's only a matter of time when he does get it figured out. And I think you're going to see him definitely make a good, strong playoff run this season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. When you simply look at what everyone has had to deal with over the past year and a half or so and how it's affected different drivers. I feel like Kyle Busch is probably the most affected by how everything has transpired for sure. And you see an immediate impact with kind of how he's able to figure out his car once you cut out practices, once you cut out qualifying. This effect starts to kind of come in a little bit, and he's mentioned that a few times as well, just having to work on his car throughout the race and finally get it to a point of his liking, if they do. And when they do that, you know, it's probably middle of the final stage, and then he's got to figure out a way to get up there to the front. So at the end of the day, completely agree with you there. Regression, don't even really think so. Tough few weeks, maybe. Unlucky few weeks, really, when you look at everything that happened there at the road course. And then, of course, a tough year last year. But, I mean, how easy would it have been for anybody to have a tough year last year with everything that transpired and everything that everybody had to deal with? And I think to be able to look at a year like last year and still come out with a victory proves how good Kyle Busch is. I think it proves the other side of the spectrum to have such a tough year. And still, like you said, there have been legends that have gone a year without a victory because of just having a tough year and just not having it. Kyle Busch still got a win last year and was able to you know, put that final stamp on 2020 to go out on a somewhat positive note. So, yeah, at the end of the day, I couldn't agree with you more. I think some great racing from Kyle Busch still to come. We'll see if that happens here in 2021 and how soon it happens here in 2021. But also, NASCAR announced the dirt race format, Brandon, for the dirt race there at Bristol, and really embraced, I think, dirt racing as a whole, which I think is fantastic. You talk about the heat race starting lineups, the four qualifying heat races that we're going to have. It's not going to be an impound race as well. So if your car gets messed up there in the heat races, you're able to go back, fix it before the start of the real race there at Bristol. And then, of course, only green flag laps counting there in the heat race. I think this format that NASCAR has come out with to look forward to the dirt race, I couldn't be more excited for what we have to come here at Bristol.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit different, PJ. You know, not the typical NASCAR format of how we run a race at all.
Right.
But I think it's going to be very interesting. And, you know, the thing about it is all the news for the last about week has been guys that are, you know, either running the lower series race or they're running those dirt nationals that are going to be held there. You know, I think just to get the seat time and the practice and the feel for what it's going to be like as much as you can. You know, I mean, here we are. We're getting ready to run on dirt again, first time since 1970. And a lot of these guys are pedigreed on asphalt now and not so much dirt. You know, you have some guys have good dirt backgrounds and, you know what they're doing, know how to go out, know how to get the wins. So it's going to be interesting. And I love the fact that NASCAR is, you know, kind of bringing the hometown feel, if you will, you know, running on dirt and allowing these guys to, hey, if you wreck your car, you know, you're going to be able to go and take it and fix it up and work on it and not be impounded and not, you know, be penalized for something that you've never done and NASCAR hasn't done in a very long time. So I think that's going to be neat. And, I mean, man, I'll just go ahead and put it out there. Like I say, anybody out there that doubts Kyle Larson when we throw these cars on dirt has got to be absolutely out of their mind, man. I mean, if you go back and look what he's done in his time being off from NASCAR with that incident, just has dominated the dirt scene. And Christopher Bell, another guy, man, you look there again, Chili Bowl national champion multiple times. I mean, that kid's amazing on dirt as well. And there's a few other names out there, you know, to watch out. And I think those guys that grew up running dirt and, you know, really still enjoy, love running dirt, I think those are going to be the guys that are going to be some players in there, man. And even in Austin Dillon, you know, I mean, won the inaugural Eldora race, you know, out there with Tony Stewart's track with the Truck Series on dirt. So, it's just going to be a different feel, man. I don't know quite how I feel about it. I'm just so, you know, my generation NASCAR, the mile and a half, and, you know, just the staple tracks that we have. And there again, I feel like, you know, Bristol was, you know, we all look forward to Bristol. That's mm-hmm. the two of the best races all season just because of the way it is.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes down, man, and what they do with it. But at the end of the day, NASCAR fan, racing fan, I'm going to love it. I'm going to enjoy seeing it, man.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think me and you very much agree and kind of have the same mindset on Bristol. The last great Coliseum, one of the best tracks on the circuit, certainly two of the best races we look forward to all year. So when this was announced, the transition to dirt, normally I'd be so excited, but to take one of those Bristol races away was kind of disappointing to me. But now, as we get closer to it, I'm getting more and more excited, and I certainly commend NASCAR for doing what they're doing. If they were going to do a dirt race at Bristol, or at any track, you really had to embrace the hometown feel of dirt track racing. And I think they're doing exactly that with these heat races and the qualifying format and the impound. Everything that they're doing to go about this dirt track race, I think they're doing the right way. So that's getting me even more excited as well. Man, like you mentioned, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, if they're not on your radar, you're crazy getting set for this dirt track race at Bristol later in the month. Over the offseason, the only two guys winning on dirt track races, it seemed like, were Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. So, gotta look out for them when we hit the dirt at Bristol. But we'll come back hitting Las Vegas later today in the Cup Series. We'll come back and talk about that racetrack and, of course, who we look to win later today at Las Vegas here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio, all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you this morning. Dan Folds with the weekend off, but you can hear Dan and Brandon every Wednesday at 6 o'clock there at Coach's Corner with all the great food, great entertainment there at Coach's Corner, and of course, the guys there on Rubbin' and Grubbin'. And be sure to catch up on all your NASCAR news you need going into the weekend there on Wednesday night. And if you can't be there in person, at Coach's Corner, check out the Coach's Corner Facebook live feed or ESPN Radio Savannah's Facebook live feed for Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday at 6. But Brandon, we're looking forward to Las Vegas today, another mile and a half track, but as you mentioned, different from Homestead in a lot of different ways, not only the shape of the track, but a lot of times, as you mentioned, people call these tracks cookie cutter, but a lot of them have their own interesting twists. First, what's Las Vegas's interesting twist? Well, when you think of Las Vegas, so what comes to mind? And when you think about today's race, who comes to mind? Who do you think comes home with the victory today?
Yeah, you know, they're again cookie cutters, right? But no, Las Vegas to me, man, I mean, it's a true D-shape oval track, you know, and there's not very many of them like that. And it's like both sets of turns handle totally different. The entry's different. You know, I mean, restarts there. I mean, restarts today. We've seen it all weekend long, whether it was the trucks or whether it was Xfinity yesterday. It is restarts. That's what it is all about, and track position is key here. If you fall behind early, that's one thing. You get behind the eight ball later on in this race today, and it's going to be extremely hard to get back up there. But now, really fast racetrack. Really love coming here. You know, over the last recent years, Penske has just dominated this place between Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski. But yeah, I mean, today, if you're asking for a top five for me, man, I've got to roll. You know, one and two has got to be Keselowski and Logano. You know, and the only reason why is you got Brad Keselowski there, three wins. You know, he's won, you know, numerous races, always been a contender. And then you look at Joey Logano, you know, best average finish there. I think he averages 8.3 or 9.3 there through his career and through the last X amount of races. So both those guys. You know, another one for me today, you got to look at Kevin Harvick. I mean, starting from the pole, we said it earlier. You know, you said it earlier, PJ, one of two guys in the series with top 10 finishes in the first three races. And I tell you what, it's only a matter of time before one of these veterans and these mile-and-a-half killers, as I like to call them, get a win, and it could be the day for Kevin Harvick today. Four for me, there again, I got to throw my guy Chase Elliott in there. I think you got to expect him to run decent today. Maybe if the car setup hits right and the timing's right, he can go out and get a win at Vegas, which I would absolutely love. That'd be amazing. But, you know, fifth for me today is a guy that we talked about earlier that people on Twitter, somebody wanted to tweet out and say regression or downfall of Kyle Busch. I think you see a really strong run from Kyle Busch today. He tends to run really well in cup races or any races where he has seat time. And, you know, running that truck race Friday, I'm sure it did not hurt him at all. And what a talent. I mean, you know, personally, if you like him or not, if you like the attitude he carries, if you like the, you know, the charisma and the way that he goes about business, that's great. A lot of folks don't, but at the end of the day, you can't deny the talent on Kyle Busch. And then dark horse for me today is a guy that had a really good run here last year and, you know, went on to you know, get a win, had a win in last season anyways, and that's going to be Alex Bowman in the 48 this year. You know, last year we saw a little bit of a different race, you know, but on that long run, man, he was flying coming through there, and it just, the cautions fell for him, you know, to get track position, but he never could quite get up there. But I think today, you know, out of the Hendrick guys, I think you're definitely going to see another really good, strong run from Alex Bowman.
Definitely, Brandon. And you talk about the restarts there at Las Vegas. One part of the track that I think you really got to look out for involves the restarts. It's the front stretch. Las Vegas, one of those tracks that keeps the apron open for drivers to race on. Drivers absolutely utilize that at every point they can get. They're going to find every inch of the track that they can race on and use it to their advantage. You think about the 4-wide finish that we saw Cole Custer win a race during last year. The apron was a big part of that. It wasn't at Las Vegas, but it was at one of the tracks that utilized that apron as part of the racing surface on the front stretch. So that is going to be a very big part of today's race, and that's something that I always am excited to see drivers utilize. Now, my five drivers for today to look out for, got to look out for, of course, Joey Logano. He's won the past two spring races in the Cup Series at Las Vegas. I'm going to go with two Hendrick guys, Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott today, as they look very good, always on mile and a half tracks, especially here at Las Vegas. And then two Joe Gibbs guys, Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch. Think both going to have very strong runs. Of course, always both very good at Las Vegas, and Kyle Busch loves racing here at Las Vegas, always seems to have a good run. My dark horse, Matt DiBenedetto. They've had a terrible start to 2021, but he finished second in both races last year here at Las Vegas. Look for Matt DiBenedetto in that 21 team to rebound and have their first good week of 2021. But for Brandon Bain, I am PJ Zucco. This has been Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network every Sunday morning from 9 to 9:30. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your weekend and race day, and God bless.